Support for the Radio West podcast comes from Harmon's Grocery, with a selection of handcrafted party trays for Thanksgiving hosts as well as attendees, including everything from artisan cheeses to a variety of desserts.
It's Radio West, and I'm Doug Fabrizio. So this week we had Matt Whitaker on our program to talk about his new feature film, Truth and Treason. It's the story of a young Mormon boy from Hamburg, Germany, who defied Hitler and the Nazis by writing and distributing these leaflets that revealed the real cost and the real atrocities of the war. The boy's name was Helmut Huebner, and he was caught, he was tried and executed. He was 17 years old. Now, one of the things we talked with Matt Whitaker about was just how Huebner's act of conscience resonated today, which naturally led to a conversation about politics, no matter how much he said he was hoping to avoid it. But there was something else we didn't get to talk about, and that is how those politics, or rather that dynamic, has influenced the way the film has been received by audiences and marketed by the film company Angel Studios. So you know, and we'll get into this a little more here in a second, but Angel Studios describes itself as a values-based distribution company. Most of their productions have a Christian or a faith-oriented theme. The television series about the life of Jesus, The Chosen, that's from Angel Studios. It's really popular. And the company uses a unique crowdsourced model called the Angel Guild. But along with this demographic comes the politics. It's definitely a more conservative crowd, and Whitaker wanted to talk more about how that's influencing the way Truth and Treason is being sold and discussed, and what he sees happening with the film's central message. How do you describe Angel Studios?
I would say, you know, they describe themselves, and I think it's accurately, as values-based. They are described typically in the press as faith-based because their first breakout hit was The Chosen.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
And we should say The Chosen is the story of Jesus.
Story of Jesus.
Yeah.
By the way, personally, beautifully done. I think the actor who portrays Christ in that, I think, is just fantastic. But that was their first big breakout project that they distributed. And so that built their base, mm-hmm. really kind of, you know, and really an evangelical base, but broadly just a Christian base, really well embraced even in this, you know, within the Mormon community.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that really kind of established for them who their base is. And understandably, that's what they've leaned into, is that, but really just an effort to, as they say, creating or, you know, helping projects get made, that shed light, that illuminate things in a positive way. That's the way that they present themselves.
I've seen them also sort of talk about, like, we're trying to get at an underserved population. Like,
yeah.
You know, the conventional Hollywood films
right.
don't always lean towards being more family friendly or more values based. And so they're trying right. to maybe serve that audience, I guess.
Right. And also, which I think is really innovative, you know, for years, crowdfunding, you know,
yeah.
Really kind of leveraging the crowd or the power of the masses in a creative way has been a tough nut to crack. And in a sense, they've done that.
Yeah.
They really have found a way to whether it's crowdfunding projects, which really in the first couple of years that they were out worked quite well.
Yep.
Not so much anymore. I think that kind of ran its course.
Yeah.
But now they have the Guild, the Angel Guild, which are subscribing members, a subscription based, you know, access to their content.
Yeah.
And it's these people, it's the people in the guild who get to vote essentially
yeah.
on what projects get approved by Angel, whether it's projects that were already produced and come to Angel looking for a distributor, or projects that are in development and Angel's part of that process of helping. It has to pass the guild at certain, you know, at a certain level in order to be greenlit at Angel Studios.
It's so interesting as a kind of a cultural project that it has this grassroots open source element to it. On one hand, you could say, that's pretty cool. On the other hand, how much does that sort of limit the ability of a director of a film? In your case, and we'll get to that in a minute, but it's an interesting idea.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, and I know that it's Angel's intent to really broaden their base, to really broaden the spectrum of those people who make part, you know, who make up their guild.
Hmm. Right, you mean now, get beyond just evangelicals?
That's right. Huh. That's right. And but right now, my impression is, and I think that there's evidence behind this, it's still largely a pretty homogenous group of. I think evangelical is maybe a little bit too confined of a term. I think it's more conservative.
Yeah.
I would even say right wing. I would even say MAGA.
Yeah. Yeah.
who really make up, I think, a large part of their base. Now they have the data on that. I haven't seen it. That's just my impression and my experience. I should say also, though, from our first meetings with them, you know, we've, as you mentioned, 20 plus years on this project, trying to get this made, having gone to the studios in LA, mm-hmm. you know, and even having seen, you know, real interest at one point from a studio that wanted to make this film, but they wanted to do it their way. They wanted to have their own director. They mm-hmm. loved the script. They mm-hmm. loved the story. And we had kind of had to take a stand even at that point and say, no, I'm going to direct this,
yeah.
and we're going to make this the way we think it should be made. Angel Studios came in and said, we love this project. We think that we could really get this out there.
And we'll let you do it.
And we'll let you do it. You mm. guys are the creators. You make your movie. We trust you. The guild, you know, we had to submit a little kind of a short film version of what we wanted to do, what they call their torch. And it passed their guild with, you know, it was the highest rated, you know, torch that they'd put through their guild at the time.
Wow.
And so they said, we trust you. You are the creatives. You do your thing. We'll distribute the film. And I have to say, they have been true to their word. You know, they, you know, this was a multi-million-dollar project.
And it's not a bunch of suits with notes.
That's right. That's right. They came over and visited set just to see what we were getting and were, you know, loved it and were impressed with it. But they have let us be the creators. And that has been, I can't overstate that, how rare that is and how much I appreciate that they have done that.
So let's come back to this idea of Angel Studios right now having a base, as you said. Mm-hmm. Because you also mentioned it seems fairly MAGA right now. And so let's get this part out of the way. Your film and Angel Studios, they exist in a particular political climate. And you've talked about not wanting to make this political. I think some of the leaders of Angel Studios say we don't want to be political. They said something like that. But we're in a moment where there's this kind of aggressive nationalist policy agenda, a confrontational approach to traditional institutions. There's the populist appeals, pretty provocative tone in the discourse. Some of the stuff you've already mentioned on the show before, speech and elections. And clearly some people are going to make a connection between this moment and the context of your film, Helmut Huebner.
Yeah.
Would you say just something about that? Did you've been working on this for 20 years, the concept, not just the film itself, but the ideas, the idea of conscience behind it, the political atmosphere playing out in Nazi Germany, all of those things. Yes. So what are the connections you're making? Just say something about where this fits in a political space, your film in this moment.
Yeah. I do want to, again, just kind of, I guess, frame my remarks, my response to that by saying that this has never been for me a message film. I never intended it to be. I don't think that it is that.
Mm.
But yes, of course, I look at what's happening and I do see how the story that we're telling in this film resonates and is applicable to what we see happening in the world today and in our country today. As you mentioned, I've always tried to keep it, you know, for me, it really does, this story transcends party politics.
Yeah.
so does what's happening in our country. I think it transcends party politics. So I have always been hesitant to compare, you know, whatever administration it is. It's really easy to compare the ones we don't agree with Hitler.
Right.
He's kind of the fallback. Oh, yeah. It's Hitler, and this is why it's similar and everything. I get
it's
that.
Usually a pretty lazy way to
exactly,
go about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Having said that, I have been immersed for the last 20 plus years in the rise of Nazi Germany, what it was like when the Nazis were in power and their drive to war, and then the fall. I've just been immersed in that. For better or for worse, and those of us who have been are now finally, I think, starting to say, we see similarities. We see things that are happening in the government, in the administration right now, in our country, that are mirroring, sometimes to an incredible degree, that are mirroring what happened in the late 20s, early 30s in Germany. How, you know, this authoritarian leader was legally elected
yeah.
into power, and how quickly he was able to dismantle a constitution. Now we're looking, you know, that was the Weimar Republic, which came, you know, was in Germany. It was Germany's kind of first efforts at democracy,
yeah.
at a republic, and they came up with a constitution, and it was failing already.
Mm. The economy was in
tatters. The economy, that's yeah. right. But there was also a lot of you know, democratically elected leaders and you know, a government that really was by the people, you know, for the first time in Germany. But it was still in its infancy. Mm. And so when the economy, you know, worldwide completely, you know, bottomed out, it was ripe for, you know, for someone to come in and within, you know, 3 months, completely using the Constitution to completely dismantle the Constitution. I get it that, you know, we're in a republic, in a democracy that has been around for a couple hundred years and has been through a lot of tests, you know, and has become, I believe, stronger and stronger because of those you know, because of those tests and the adjustments that have had to be made in this. And so I don't see that, you know, that it's, or I haven't seen, let me put it that way. I haven't seen that, you know, that any one administration could have a huge, you know, could tear down this really grounded and established foundation of democracy that we have here until now. And I'm not, again, I'm a filmmaker, you know, who tries to be well-read and tries to keep up on current events. But I'm seeing it from the scholars, from balanced and well-read and scholars who have immersed them, you know, their whole lives in reading what's happening. And I'm seeing them see the same things that I'm seeing from my limited perspective. And that is that we are seeing it happen, that we are seeing, to just say things as they are, we are seeing the Trump administration really try to take control of the judicial, of the legislative, and make changes that are, I think, putting this democracy at risk. Will it fall as easily and as quickly as the Weimar Republic, the Weimar democracy did? No. This is a much stronger democracy than that, but I see things happening, and I'm worried about it. And so, to get back to your question, to tell a story about a young man who saw the same thing in his country and recognized the truth and decided that his weapon, if you will, wasn't a gun, it was a typewriter. Mm. And so his whole intent was to use truth, which he had access to use information and then try and spread it to as many people as he could. I think that applies today. I think that when people see this film, and it's been really gratifying to me to hear from people, especially from teenagers and kids in their 20s.
Who get it,
who are watching mm-hmm. this and coming back and saying, I need to be braver. I need to stand up. I need to say something. But their parents and their grandparents are also seeing the same thing after they've seen the film. And that, of course, for a filmmaker, for any kind of artist, if you've made something that you feel like
gets all the demos.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And that it's having an impact, that it's more than, you know, for me, again, as a filmmaker and as a film lover, I would say I love going to movies just to be entertained. Yep. I love just being moved with a bunch of strangers in a dark room. Love that whole process. Very rarely do I come out of a film feeling like I'm changed, feeling like I want to be a different person than I was before. That happened to me. Oh, so when I saw Dead Poets Society, yeah, when I was in my early 20s, yeah, and I did walk out of that going, carpe diem, yeah, I'm going to make some different choices. I'm going to do, and I have, you know, yeah, I really do feel that.
Yeah.
That's very rare. I don't know.
But it's great when art can do that.
It is. And I don't know that this film universally will do that, but that's the initial feedback that I'm reading and that I'm getting is that people are seeing what's happening right now in the world with the rise of neo-totalitarianism, with the rise of fascism, mm-hmm, in the world, and what's happening in our country, and seeing the parallels.
What did you think that it would mean when you decided to work with Angel Studios? On one hand, they had the resources, they had the wherewithal, they had the commitment to let you just be free artistically.
Yes.
Oh, that's terrific. But did you also wonder if, because of their cultural bent or political bent, that might mean sort of you may have to jeopardize something, that the film could potentially be typecast, mm-hmm, as a message film, as a faith-based film? It does involve a young Mormon boy.
Yeah.
The movie's not about Mormonism. It's, no, he happens to be that his, yeah, faith does drive him, but I wouldn't say it's a Mormon film in that way. And so I wonder if you just thought, well, this might be a problem. I don't want to typecast or confine my film, but there's some benefits there. So let's go for it and see what happens. I don't know. How are you thinking, yeah, about all that?
Yeah, we definitely, and again, to reiterate, you know, after years and years of being rejected by the industry, really, nobody really willing to take a chance on, yeah, this, an unknown director with an unknown production team, you know, for a story that was going to cost millions of dollars. Nobody else would do that. And they had their opportunities. And the Angel said, we want to. And so we were, you know, very interested in that. Eyes wide open, understanding, yeah, okay, that this is going to be, unless we handle this appropriately, this is going to be pigeonholed as a faith-based film.
Yep.
And so that, you know, throughout, and by the way, this was a very open conversation that we've had with Angel and our team there. Yes,
yeah,
throughout.
Like, guys, we're worried about,
yeah,
and, yes,
and but they want to widen their base as well. They, yeah, want
so
to
So they
appeal.
Get it as well.
Yeah.
They're not like, wait a minute, dude, we have a MAGA, yeah, base that we have to appeal to.
Yes, but,
okay,
they still have a MAGA base that they want to make sure not offend.
That's still an incentive and,
yes,
a priority for them.
Yeah,
in terms
and
of
I,
their
and I should
model.
I should distinguish that first for us. It really was the evangelical base, the faith based element. That, you know, to your point, this is not a faith based film any more than Schindler's List is a faith based,
yeah,
film.
Yeah.
You know, if you see the wonderfully, beautifully depicted elements of the Jewish faith in that film from frame one to the very end of that film, it's just incredibly beautiful, but it's not a faith-based film, and nobody, yeah, sees that way. I feel the same way about this film. So that was, you know, just over the past several years after we partnered with Angel and we're putting together the financing and developing this project, that was always something that we, in almost every meeting with them, it seemed that we were saying, okay, how are we positioning this?
Yeah.
What are we talking about? How are we talking about it? Just to make sure that people understand that. Then there is, and this became more and more of a concern for us over the last, you know, well, over the last year or so, was the conservative, the right wing MAGA base that really kind of seemed to rise up more even in the last, you know, since Trump's reelection. And again, just to be completely candid, those same leanings within the executives at Angel Studios. And so then the conversation really kind of shifted a bit from let's make sure that we don't pigeonhole this thing into as a faith-based project to trying to make sure that this film didn't get co-opted by the right wing.
By the MAGA right. Did it?
Yeah.
Has it?
We're seeing it happen right now.
And this is what has you worried.
This is what has me worried even within the last few weeks where the president of Angel Studios has gone on the Charlie Kirk podcast, gone on other really, from my perspective, far right wing MAGA podcasts and has really leaned into comparing Helmut Huebner to Charlie Kirk.
Wow.
Really leaned into, frankly, the MAGA talking points, mocking the No Kings rally, kind of putting out these, in my view, condescending and glib straw man arguments about, well, you know, if we really had a king, then they wouldn't even allow these things to happen. Of course, the people, I was at that No Kings rally, of course we understand that. You know, and they understand the importance of marketing, you know, and branding, and what that, you know, this was the No Kings rally was a representation of people who see what's happening, not what has already happened. So I started hearing these kind of things from the very executives at Angel Studios publicizing our film and making those comparisons and those kind of statements, and that's been. That's been disappointing and frankly really frustrating because they have known and we have known that we've always felt that this story and this project transcends right or left. But if they're going to be pulling it, you know, and trying to fit it into to force it into a right wing viewpoint, that's where we have to say something. I'd be doing the same thing, by the way, if it was being forced into a left-wing viewpoint. I really do believe that.
So there's, on one hand, just your basic principled concern for the way the idea of the film is being manipulated. But then there's the effect that it might have on reaching a potential audience. Do you think that's also limiting, that you have people who – something from Angel Studios in the first place is a non-starter for some people because, you know, I'm not really interested in Jesus or I'm not really interested in sort of Christian films. They don't always live up to my expectations or I don't want to be preached to or I want something a little bit more complicated. Yeah. So I'm wondering if you also think just – not only are they sort of – having these talking points and expressing them, but that's going to make people not interested in your film, which is nothing like that, I guess.
Yeah, and that has been that's been a concern all along. You know, when we partnered with Angel, just knowing that there was going to be that perception, I would say over the last 3 years since we partnered with them, that perception of them as a Christian-based right-wing distributor has just become more and more pronounced.
Yeah.
And so it's been more and more difficult for us to try and distinguish ourselves. And again, I've never wanted to kind of make excuses for or say, yeah, well, Angel Studio, but, you know, because, again, they got us on 2,100 screens, this little independent film on 2,100 screens across the country. It would never happen with any, even the big distributors, with this little indie film. So that is huge. But now I'm to a point where I am finding myself saying, because I'm hearing those comments that you mentioned, that people saying, Angel Studios, I'm not going to go see that because, you know, it's going to be some Christian, some faith-based film, some right-wing message film. You know, as I look at their website right now and see the other films that are frankly, getting bigger billing than ours. It's two RFK Jr., hagiographic pieces. It's an anti-Anthony Fauci documentary, amongst other
sort of MAGA boilerplate.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm seeing. And so that's the concern, because to your point, people are avoiding seeing this film because, they can't get past that idea of, oh, this is going to be just another Angel project.
Are you hearing from either leaders in Angel Studios or others who are in this grassroots sort of group that help select projects, who are saying, why did we give money to this left-wing dude who's got this film that is clearly attacking the Trump administration and calling it Hitler?
Short answer is no. And the reason is, and this has been a really interesting phenomenon, I think, is that people on the right, or even the people in the MAGA crowd, and let me be clear, I'm one of seven children. I think that I can safely say that my other six siblings are all staunchly and strongly in the MAGA crowd, and I of course love them dearly. And these are well educated, smart people. Okay, yeah. I understand that.
Thanksgiving is coming. How does that usually go?
Really well.
You can get along.
We get along wonderfully well. They kind of know where I stand.
Yeah.
By the way, again, since we're political here, we're talking politics, I'm a lifelong Republican, okay? And I still am. And I feel like my party has been completely hijacked. Having said all that, my siblings and a lot of, again, what we, I guess, could refer to as MAGA supporters or the MAGA crowd, sounds a little pejorative, but they watch this film and they'll watch it and they think, oh, this is exactly aligning with what I see, because, you know, this is a kid standing up against Biden. And they see it from their perspective.
Sure. We all do.
And yes, we do. That's true. And for too long, though, I think I've been willing to let people do that. And I guess I've just reached a point just recently where I just think, yes, every president, and by the way, I'm not a Biden supporter. Again, just being completely frank and candid here. But this is different. What's happening now is different. And if our lenses are so clouded that we look at a story of a kid who really was motivated by standing up for someone that no one else was standing up for, who was motivated by standing up for the outcasts or the immigrants, and saying, yeah, that fits with my beliefs about our current administration, I think there's a problem there.
Some of the comments I've seen about the film, these are just sort of pulled from Reddit. I saw it expecting the worst because Angel Studios – how this one begins. I'm surprised. Distributing the film that is so strongly anti-fascist. That's one comment. Here's one that says, this movie will make people wake up or they'll hate it because it resonates with what we are living nowadays. Watch the movie and replace the words Hitler with Trump and Germany with America. So clearly people are connecting it in that way. But let me add another thing that comes along with this last comment. Insanely good. It says. And I wonder if you're worried, set aside all the sort of political baggage for a moment, that in this conversation about the political dimensions to the story, that you're worried people will lose track about just the quality of the film that you made, the quality of the presentation, the cinematography, the careful writing of the story, the acting and the – just, you know, the basic stuff about – that any director worries about more than the other part.
Absolutely. Again, at the heart of this, for the last 24 years, I've just really wanted to tell a story that was beautifully told, that would honor Helmut and Carl and Rudy and Zalamon and that would be a well-made film. I think we've done that. I'm a little bit surprised. I guess I can admit to you that I'm so grateful. You know, it really could have been that 24 years trying to get this film made and we finally get it made and then we go, dang, you know, it's all
right. I think it's fair to say it's kind of killing it right now. The Rotten Tomatoes score for audiences is in the 90s, the mid to upper 90s. Yeah. Critic rating is in the upper 80s.
Yeah.
It's that you could say just on that basis alone, it's got some critical acclaim.
It does. Incredibly good critical acclaim. And even more importantly to me, you know, hearing how it's affecting people, just hearing, sitting in an audience who don't know the director sitting there.
Do you do that?
Yeah. and hearing the laughter and hearing the tears and feeling that they're getting it. Feeling the thundering silence after the image closes at the end and the credits start. That's just, you know,
here's the issue though. How's the box office? Because that's the other question. Yeah. So people who are seeing it or seem to be responding positively, but the box office is not there yet. And I wonder if you think all this other baggage is dragging it down?
It's a good question, and I definitely genuinely do not want to seem like I'm casting blame. Oh, why isn't this performing like I hoped that it would in the box office?
Yeah.
And it may be that we've created a film that that people really love, but not enough people to go out and see it. You know, it could be when we're in an art forum and in a medium that depends on hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people getting out of their homes and paying money to go see something.
Yeah.
You have to look at that and try and determine why that's working or why it's not. But of course, we have also asked those questions of how many people, you know, we're seeing it anecdotally, and we're seeing the comments on Reddit and other many other places of people saying, this is just another Angel Studios film, and I'm not going to go see it. And with them leaning into the right wing MAGA base and into that crowd, has that limited, you know, what it could have done, what it should have done? Again, I don't know. But yes, we're all asking those questions.
Do you have a strategy? By that I mean, how do you get out from under the umbrella of Angel Studios and the natural cultural baggage that comes with that, and not seem like a total ingrate? Because as you say, they've gotten you on a lot of screens. They've spent a lot of money on distribution and marketing and all of those kinds of things. But how do you then sort of separate yourself? I don't know. Have you thought about what you do?
And that's probably an area where we don't have enough. We're not in a place yet to really be able to speak to that, I think. I should say personally, I'm just not ready to kind of talk about that.
But you're working something out.
Except to say, to reiterate, that I and my partners, my producing partners on this, are genuinely and deeply grateful. We wouldn't be on this side of production without Angel Studios. We wouldn't have this beautiful film that we've made without Angel Studios. If there's another story, you know, related to Helmut Huebner, we would be doing it with Angel Studios. Mm. We just need to determine what that means. You know, what that means, and is there something that we would need to do differently to make sure that maybe some of these same things that have happened on this one wouldn't happen on another one to do with them.
Do you think that some of the leaders at Angel Studios sympathize with you, or just annoyed with your complaint about it? Do you know what I mean? I get it. We ourselves as a studio are trying to broaden our base, but right now, sorry, Matt, it's the MAGA base. That's who brings the money right now. That's who we have to appeal to. We have to be careful. We have to go on these podcasts and we have to talk to them in this certain way. So we get it, but you know, that's the reason you're on that many screens right now. I mean, I don't know. Have you had these kinds of conversations? Do you know what they're thinking?
Short answer is no. But I will say this. My perspective after, you know, many meetings and conversations with the leadership at Angel Studios. And again, I have to reiterate, I love these guys. It's a really complex, I'm in a really complex place right now because I genuinely love these guys.
And sounds like your family. Sounds similar in some ways. You love them. You can't relate on some things, but you really genuinely like them.
And they genuinely love this project, and they genuinely feel, I believe that they genuinely identify with the MAGA crowd. And so when, you know, when I've made a film with, so our cinematographer, Bianca Klein, is a transgender woman. And when she sees the head of Angel Studios going on a show and lionizing Charlie Kirk, who said plenty of really good things and some awful things, particularly about the LGBTQIA+ crowd, when she is feeling personally hurt and in danger, that's when something is wrong. And that's when I have to say something.
Matt Whitaker, thanks again.
Thank you.
That's Matt Whitaker. He's the director of the film Truth and Treason, which is in theaters now. We have a link to the film on our website, radiowest.org.